continue in the Balatanya. We're in the fifth parak. It's the first section in the Chassidus Mevaris Sefer. It's page Resh Vav in the middle. We're talking about how a person is able to, the concept of grasping under ideas of Torah. We talk about the idea of the concept and the intellect. And when the intellect is thinking about something, what it means in terms of grasping concepts, where the intellect grasps it, and that intellect is inside, as it were, the intellect. The intellect has the concepts that are in it, totally surrounding them, as it were. That was the first thing he talked about. He's going to continue now. Next line of the Balatanya, "Vegam ha-seichel melubash ba-muskol b'shosh shemasigo v'tosa b'sichlo." As well, the intellect is enclosed in the concept at the time that the person grasps the thing with his intellect. It goes two ways. He's going to say the other side of the coin now. Explains the Chassidus Mevaris. In addition to the unity that the intellect of the person has with the concept that we mentioned before, that through the person grasps the concept is now grasped and inside his intellect. Also is going on is hahis achdus b'neim, the unity between them, bali de bitu gam b'nyan osav, it expresses itself in an additional way, for who which is at the very moment that the person is engaged in trying to grasp, in grasping the concept with great thought, he's concentrating. His intellect is totally enclosed in that rationale, reasoning, and concept that he's involved with. In such a way, that the concept grasps the intellect of the person. In Yiddish, he uses the word tofes. He says, farchapt. Farchapt. It grabs it. In other words, you ever did that? You know, an idea grabs you? An idea grabs you. What does it mean the idea grabs you? You're totally into the idea. You're into the idea. At that moment, when he's on that concept, he's totally concentrating on that. He's not capable of thinking about other things. Look at footnote number 7 at the bottom. This is the second side of the coin, you see. And it spells it out. Mash enkin in a rishon, which is not so with the first concept that we learned last week, which is shamuskal nitfas umukav umlubish besocha seichel shesiko veskilo, that the concept is grabbed and it's surrounded and enclosed within the intellect that has comprehended it. Eino rak b'sha shaosek b'hasaga se'inyan. It's not at the time when the mind is thinking of the concept. Elanisher gamacher remains forever. This logic, this concept becomes part of his intellect. It's part of his Weltanschauung. It's part of his schema. So that's something that's forever. The mind has grasped the idea. Therefore, it's a mitzvah to get up with somebody who's acquired wisdom. Even when he's not learning Torah. Because he has all that wisdom grasped. Okay. Well, now he's explaining. So that's number one, why you get up for a tzaddik who knows a lot of Torah. Because all that he now is walking with that Torah in his mind. But we're also saying, at the moment when you are engaged in thinking, the concept now is grasping the human being. He's taken by the concept. Next page, Rei Zion. This is also a unique nature of the intellect and thought. At the time when a person is concentrating, when the intellect is concentrating, right? The ideas grasp the person until he's totally in the concept. And in the brackets, we say, which is not necessarily the case when you speak and do things. When you speak and do things, you don't have to be totally into what you're saying. As a matter of fact, you could be lying. Right? So the opposite. You're totally opposite of what you're saying. Actions, you could be doing something and thinking about something else. Because proof is, you could be davening and thinking about something else. But thinking, you know, unless you're an unusual person, you can only think about the thing you're thinking about, and you can't not think about what you're thinking about. Unless you're these big tzaddikim who are able to write two tshuvas at the same time and have a conversation with somebody. But usually that doesn't work out that way. So you're totally engrossed in the thing, the concept you're thinking about. Nimtza comes out, shall the hasagas muskal, notes there, kesher bein sichlo shalotam, muskal mishnei tzorim. Comes out, when a person grasps a concept, it develops a connection between the intellect of the person and the concept from both sides. Mitzarech, from one end, a muskal melubish besocha seichel. The concept is enclosed forever inside the intellect. Miyidach, seichel adam melubish besocha muskal. On the other hand, the intellect is totally enclosed within the concept, at least for the time that he's thinking about it. This is the unique quality of the intellect. Only through intellect can you create a bonding called grasping. That's why we go back to where we started from. And Eliyahu said, there's no one who can grasp you, Hashem. Because you can't, because human beings can't grasp with their minds. Because this expression describes the unique kesher, the unique connection that activates when a person understands something with his intellect. This is what Eliyahu says. When we're talking about Hashem, there's no thinking that can grasp you. Why? Because Hashem is beyond intellect. No brain can grasp Hashem, because Hashem is beyond understanding Hashem per se. Now that we've explained why we use the word grasping when we talk about intellect, now the tzaddik will continue to explain the wondrous virtue that happens when how a person connects to Hashem via the study of Torah. Because remember, we've said Hashem was mitzamtzem himself into that very Torah that he gave to mankind. He diluted himself, as it were. Not diluted, what was the word? Concentrated, right? Concentrated his essence in the Torah. The Torah is the intellect of God. Now, there's a lot more intellect than what you see in the Torah, but that's part of it. Concentrated version of God's mind. And God's mind is, and him are one. Now you're engaged in learning God's Torah. So what's going to happen? Your mind is going to grasp these Torah concepts, which are not only Torah concepts, they're concepts of Hashem. And Hashem's ideas will grab you as you are learning them.
But Hashem cannot be grasped, period.
Hashem himself cannot be grasped, but his wisdom and he are one. Remember, his wisdom, it's not. God is beyond the wisdom, what we can appreciate. But still, it's his wisdom. It's his wisdom. And that is a tremendous...
So we may grasp the concepts of his wisdom, but not himself.
Yeah, but he and his wisdom are one. You can't separate Hashem from his wisdom. You can separate me from my wisdom. You can't separate Hashem from my wisdom, from Hashem's wisdom. That's as we said long ago. We can't go back over that again. But that wisdom of Hashem, like we say, you read someone's diary, even though you can't touch the person, you know that person very well. You don't know what they look like. You don't know if they're tall, short, good-looking, but you understand what their feelings are vis-a-vis what they are sharing with you. And that's all you can know about Hashem.
We're talking only about the physical
aspect. No, the intellectual, the emotional, everything.
That we can grasp.
Yeah, well, that's a lot.
There's
the beyond the physical that we can't grasp. Hashem is so much more, but this part we can't understand. That's a significant amount of Hashem.
Yeah.
And that's what we are going to have a dveikus with. We're going to have dveikus with that.
We know what he loves, we know what he hates. There's one
right, but these are actually...
What kind of relationship... What relationship do you have a person that's any stronger than that?
Well, unless you see him, you cannot make a relationship with him.
Remember, you're hugging the king, and the king has a lot of garments on. You're still hugging the king.
Right, but you cannot have a relationship with a diary unless you see the person themselves.
Not true. Not true. Especially if the person responds to you. You could have email relationships with people. Never see the person. Same person writes you their deepest feelings, you write back. They write back, you write back.
Yeah.
You can have it very close.
Yeah.
You may not like other qualities of that, physical qualities, if you'd see the person. It doesn't matter. So now, he explains. He begins to give an example of what this grasping means. Derech mashal. Kishara maybe namasa geiz halacha v'nishto v'gemar lashura al burya. When a person understands and grasps a specific halacha in a Mishnah or in a Gemara completely and clearly, learning a piece of Gemara, and they understand it really well, your intellect grasps and surrounds those concepts. At the moment you're learning it, your mind is taken by the concept. Explains the Chassidus Mivaris. When a person succeeds in understanding a particular aspect in halacha, in Torah, as he should. Perusha shel davar, what does that mean? His intellect, demanded that law has to be like the way the Torah said the law should be. That God's, the Torah's wisdom should become his wisdom. Because his intellect is able to grasp and surround the halacha. So now, his mind now thinks along this halacha. Trying to remember, just read a story and I can't remember the details of the story. But you find many times where great rabbis are asked to render halachic opinions, how to make peace between two parties. So they come up with some suggestions. Says, how did you know that? He says, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a Gemara. Like they understand that this is the realities of life, and it's part in their brain. This godly intellect is now part of my intellect. On the other hand, when he's really learning properly, his intellect is concentrating, focused, and enclosed totally in the wisdom of Torah.
So he's doing the grasping.
Both ways. He's grasping and his mind is being grasped by the idea. Goes both ways. They tell stories of Gedolim. Where they would be thinking about a hard concept in Gemara, and they'd be in the same spot, they wouldn't move for like 5 hours. And they'd be totally oblivious to everything that's going around them in the world. Because they are totally submerged in the concept that they're thinking about. Now, when they get it, and they understand it, then the idea is totally now submerged inside their brain. So it's both ways. While you're studying, that's why it's called the Sea of the Talmud. When you jump into the sea, you're surrounded by water. But then when you get it, it's yours. It's mamish, part of you. So there's a tremendous closeness to these concepts in Torah, which is nothing more than the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is coming out over here. Now you understand why there's such a big deal made about amelus in Torah, toiling in Torah, effort in Torah. Because toiling in Torah means that's the only thing you're thinking about when you're learning Torah. You're giving everything you have to understand the concept. You're putting your whole mind into it. And there's nothing else on your mind at all. So you're totally submerged in those concepts. And those concepts are nothing more than the expressed will of Hashem. Yeah?
When you add to learning of Torah, learning of commentaries, what happens then?
Well, if bona fide commentaries, those commentaries are bringing out further understandings of God's will. When you read a pasuk and Rashi says something, Rashi's not just saying his own ideas, though that's Torah, it's coming from Hashem. That's Torah's Hashem. Where did Rashi get this idea from? Where did Chazal get this idea? Where does these commentaries are telling you pshat in the pasuk? That's what the pasuk really is. The four levels, pardes, it's all ideas that are coming from Hashem, that via people. That Hashem has put into there because they've interacted with Torah in a way that produces more godly understanding. If you say from here, kol haroa sota b'kolkola yazer satsmin ayayin. Anyone who sees a sota in her disgrace should stay away from wine. Okay, nowhere in the Chumash does it say that, but the rabbis made that connection. They said, well, this is an obvious next step. This is obviously what Hashem meant for us to take away from this. You know, not everything you say, other things you say, and from what you say, people if they really understand what you're saying, they'll take it another step. It's obvious you have to do this. What do you mean it's obvious you have to do it? Of course you have to stay away from, what do you mean? I saw the lady in her disgrace. So for sure I'll never drink wine. In other words, we're saying, you see what happened to this lady? She's in a state of disgrace. You see what happens? How did she get in the state of disgrace? Probably she was drinking too much wine herself, and she did things she shouldn't do. So now you say, ooh, I better become a nozer, so I practice this. So some people would say, no, Adarabba, the fact I saw her in a disgrace, I don't have to be a nozer. I'll for sure never do it. I don't have to be a nozer. So Yerush Chazal say, no, that's not so. If Hashem put the two together, just putting the two together, even though he doesn't say it, but you understand that if you see a woman in disgrace, yes, you have to become a nozer. Why? Because there's another concept that you learn from these two. That even if you see something disgusting, and you go, oh, that's terrible. But once you've heard it and seen it, then it enters into the realm of possibility for you too. As much as you go, that's a disgusting thing. How could a person do that? Ah, shocking. But now that you've seen it, that somebody can do it, now it's within the realm of possibility. You're not going to do it tomorrow. Not going to do it tomorrow. But it desensitizes you. Okay, so now you better become a nazir to go back on the other side. So where did God say that? Where did he say that in the episode? He didn't say it. But the fact he put two together, now comes the next level. So you have the pshat. The pshat is you read the nazir, you read the sota, that's pshat. The remez, the hint is, well, why did Hashem put the two together? He could have put a million things. Why did he put the two together? Then the drush says, to tell you, you got to do something to not be desensitized. Now, that's Chazal already. But Chazal are telling you, this is clearly what Hashem is implying from all this. And that's the lesson you have to learn. That's the lesson Hashem wants you to learn. And that's what the rabbis are saying. This is clearly what Hashem, because they are so connected to all of God's Torah, then they're drawing the logical conclusions of what this is all about.
So if the Torah is like his diary, then Rashi and Rambam, the great.
It's all part of God's, it's how God's Torah now comes out of Rashi.
Right. So he immersed himself so that when he brings forward explanations, it's further explanations of the source.
That's right. Now, and then everybody has a chelek in Torah. Everyone has their own chelek in Torah. Everyone is meant to bring something out of Torah. So that means everybody has what to learn from everybody. And then you develop that kesher to another Jew through that Torah. Or the way they live that Torah. It's all a very intertwined idea over here. All right? So now, where am I? Next page. Reish Ches. Continues the Balatanya. This halacha now that you have grasped. But this is the wisdom and the will of Hashem. Sha'ala b'ritzona that came to his mind, his desire. Hashem's will is if a guy comes along and makes such a claim, and another guy makes a counterclaim, this is the conclusion that should happen between them. That's God's intellect, explains the Chassidus Mevoras. Call halacha v'halacha, shall call prat mitarik mitzvahs haTorah. Every little detail, the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah. Af b'dine choshen mishpat, even in laws of civil law. We're not talking about mitos, we're talking about civil law. Ubetainus and finish ben omcher, with claims, and, you know, between one man and another, which are intellectual claims, which is fine even in the secular world. Secular world will deal with court systems. Haria psak hadin, the conclusion, it's not a human logical conclusion. That is the conclusion that is drawn, that has to be drawn, from God's wisdom. Right? But God in his great chesed gives mankind the ability to comprehend this godly intellect with man's own intellect. So footnote 11. He says, Yesh lomar, oimek hatam, shenaka dugma mechoshed mishpat. We're going to look a little deeper. Why did he pick an example from choshed mishpat, from civil law? Why didn't he pick another law from a different part of the Torah, Hilchos Shabbos? Why civil law? With claims from one person or another. Even though one of them is going to be wrong. If two guys are claiming, one guy's right and one guy's wrong, isn't it? So civil law is different than Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, this is the law. Right? But in civil law, it's two claims.
One is wrong.
One is right and one is wrong. Bari v'shema. Bari, one guy sure, Shem, the other guy's in doubt. The halachas go to Bari. Finished. So we're even including something that's wrong. Klomer, gama sfer shebe Torah shebo lodom betayna shel sheker. Even logic, reasons of the Torah that deal with falsehood. This is reasoning that has to be coming from God's wisdom. Okay. Skip the next paragraph. He quotes from another source, and he says, "HaTorah." Next, second column. Nishtal Solomata Filu B'Davar Sheker. The Torah emanates down even in falsehoods. When a guy says, "I found it," even though he didn't find it, one guy lies. Okay, it's beyond. We don't get bogged down in this. What? I don't remember. Anyway,
is this a matter of our interpretation?
No, it's what God gave. That's what God gave all this. He told Moshe all these scenarios. He told Moshe all these scenarios. All right, now let's try to do one more line. Ve'af in the Baal Tanya. Ve'af im lohay yevelo yadavar zeliyel. Not his reward. What if this halacha never happens? That's it. This halacha. This situation never comes up. Level of mishpat al tanis v'yosel. There'll never come a court case like this. Or like the famous case of the Ben Sora Mora, the recalcitrant son. Mora says never happened. So then why do I need to learn this? And this becomes the main thing. Why do I got to learn stuff that's not applicable nowadays? You know, like the Eishes Sota.
Yeah.
So we explained the last few days in the other class. No, but you don't have a Beis Hamikdash. You don't have a coin. No one's going to drink the waters. But we explained how it's applicable. Right? So he's saying, any topics, even though never were, never will be, but it's still part of God's wisdom. Because the laws of the Torah are not like human law. Laws, human laws only come out of cases that require them to make such a law. They were a response to things that happened. To know how to conduct yourself the way the king wants. But they would only bring up laws dealing with things that have already happened. The laws of the Torah don't come out of human needs. In order to know how to conduct oneself, it's the essential wisdom of Hashem. Those are beyond world conduct. Look in the brackets and remember this because you'll hear it again Shavuos afternoon, first day, Mitzvah Hashem. As our rabbi say, Shatorah hi chemda chamuda, chemda genuza shegenuza loch. It is the treasure, the precious treasure that Hashem buried. Kodim Shivrelim, before the world was created. The angel said, why are you giving the Torah to mankind? You have the Torah is a chemda genuza, is a hidden utensil. It's a hidden, precious utensil that existed 974 generations before the world was created. That it's essentially beyond the parameters of this world. To the degree that the Torah is hidden from the rest of the world, it's not going to be engaged in the world. But from that starting place, God's wisdom traveled and descended. So it finally manifests itself in what we have in this world. Even laws of Torah that never were, never will be. We'll never make a difference. Jew will never have to conduct himself this way. This never happened, this case. These are things that are essentially part of God's knowledge. Let's just look at footnote 15. We'll end with that. Hatam bepashtus ladgashesu. What's the reason for this stress? How that concepts sort of don't have to be nogel amaisa to have practical benefit. Because here the Rebbe is explaining the virtue of knowing Torah and comprehending it. The essential knowledge and grasping of the wisdom of the Torah. Not the person will now know what to do. That it's obligated and includes things that have nothing to do with this world. Maybe Dugmazu, he gives this example. This idea of understanding God's wisdom doesn't matter if it's something that's practical for us or not practical for us in the relative world down here. But it is important for us to know how God thinks. And that becomes part of the way we think. And that connects us to Hashem. So if there's no part of Torah that's not important, every part is what Hashem is thinking. But we will see next time we get together how this totally connects you to Hashem in the deepest way. That's what he's saying here, that these ideas, when you're learning it, grab you, and then you grab these ideas. And that's how you develop this kesher, this eternal kesher to Hashem. Even when you're not learning, you are in your mind, all these godly ideas go with you at all times. On the other hand, a person who's an Amoritz, where's he going to disconnect from Hashem? Where are you going to disconnect from Hashem with such intensity? And then, now you know these things, now your behavior now becomes modified through this. This is the deep connection that you can get. That this is the connection that Hashem gave us at Sinai. This is what we're celebrating on Shavuos. That Hashem gave us this. Without Torah, we would never be able to have this kind of connection to Hashem. And that's the real reason why we're celebrating on Shavuos. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Short day today.